I really enjoyed our Independence Day Bible reading from 2 Chronicles 29 through 31. The reforms of Hezekiah, which we talked about in class today with Brother Clevin and Jason just mentioned at the tail end of his sermon. It was kind of a welcome relief to me from the previous month's readings about the divided kingdom, the failed kings, a failed chosen people of God, infighting between Judah and Israel, you know, unholy alliances with neighboring kingdoms, a total abandonment of the law of Moses and the temple rites, and widespread idolatry and paganism to boot. You know, the history of God's chosen people, Israel, as recorded in their own Bible, our Old Testament, is full of accounts of the abject failure of individuals, of kings, and of the nation as a whole. Just a very unflattering account of their faith over the centuries in God. And it's not written, it wasn't written by their enemies about them. It wasn't written by outsider secular historians, but it was written by their own prophets and leaders. And they hold these writings as sacred. And there's only reason why they would do that, is because they believe they're sacred, as do we. And one of the reasons that convinces me that the Old Testament is the Word of God is just because nobody would write that about themselves if it wasn't true. And that not only that it wasn't true, that it was inspired of God. You know, sadly, religious Jews today are, you know, they're in the same place that Malachi left them 2,400 years ago. They're still waiting for Elijah the prophet to return. They're still waiting for the Messiah, you know, to restore the throne of David and the temple of God. They believe that the famine that Amos prophesied in chapter 8, verse 11 of his book, it was not a famine of bread or a thirst for water or a famine of food, but it would be a famine of words from God. God was going to go quiet. And they believe that that period still goes on and they're waiting for that still to end. But before Malachi, you know, Hezekiah, the king of Judah, did some good things. He was a bright light. And I'll quickly review some of them, even though we just did. You know, he had the priests reconsecrate themselves to God so that they could then reconsecrate the temple and the temple worship service. He brought back the sacrifices commanded by the law. He sent out a proclamation to all of Israel, calling them to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover again, and reminded them that they could return to the Lord and that the Lord's fierce anger would turn away from them because their God was gracious and compassionate. And many did turn their hearts back and overflowed the coffers with their tithes. Some in their zeal, and John pointed this out today, it struck me the same way. Some in their zeal failed to purify themselves before they ate the Passover in violation of the law. But because Hezekiah prayed that the Lord would pardon that, and because the people's hearts were bent towards God, the Lord healed the people. So, brethren, we're here before this table this morning because our hearts are towards God and because we know our God to be gracious and compassionate. We're here because we know we need God to heal us. And we're here because we know that He's made a provision for that. We know that Messiah has come. He's laid the foundation for the establishment of His everlasting kingdom with His own body and His own blood. As we each examine ourselves against the mirror of God's Word, we can clearly see how short we fall from His righteous standard. Ironically, the God who sees everything perfectly, to whom everything about us is laid bare, the one whose word, you know, penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judging the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. On the judgment day, this same God is going to look at us, and he's only going to see the righteousness of Jesus. And he'll say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And we know this because God has promised it. And he has proven that we can rely on his promises. He's given us this Lord's Supper to help us remember the body and the blood of our Savior Jesus and the reason that we have that hope.